What's up? Welcome to episode 334 of the PS4 Blackcast. I'm JCM. With us this week is Isley.
Yo.
And Messiah.
Hello.
And Isley's all about that Goose Game. He's like,
Goose Game.
The Goose Game is so good.
Yeah. It's not on PS4, though, but it is a new release, at least. But because there's not any other new releases for PS4 this week. Like, I know as far as things that came out, that's the problem with the PlayStation Store is, like, I go to new games, and they don't necessarily do it on date of release, so I see stuff like, oh, NBA 2K20, NHL 20, Plants vs. Zombies, Battle of the Neighborhood, or whatever, and it's like Borderlands 3, and I'm like, those aren't new?
They're new-ish.
Yeah. There was a update to Red Dead Online last week, I believe, The Frontier Pursuits, I think we forgot to mention, and I hear a lot of things about how this actually made the online portion of the game, like, a lot of fun, and a lot of people who played it at the start and then had some issues have gone back to play it again. It sounds like kind of like the Destiny Taken King kind of situation, where, like, this is, like, a really good update for the online portion, because not many people play Red Dead Online that much, at least. Not as much as, like, GTA, of course.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of people playing it that I follow on streams, and I was kind of wondering why I didn't realize there was a major update.
Yeah, I was thinking, I was like, you know what, this might actually pull me back into Red Dead, because, like, I've been wanting to replay the game. Can't now, because there's too many games coming out, but that's something I always want to do, is go back and replay it to see if I could appreciate those slower moments in the first couple chapters, because the game is kind of slow. But then I thought about going back and saying, you know, I might give the online a shot, because I played the online for a little bit and it was okay. But with all the changes, I think it could be pretty fun to play. But aside from that, yeah, no big games that came out. So we'll just jump straight into the news. We had the drop of a surprise Terminator Resistance game announcement this week that comes out in November. Now, the November date is going to be for EU, and then it'll come out in the US in December. But this game just came out of nowhere. It's like, and it's being developed by, let's see, what was the name? I just looked up. They don't have it. Okay. I wish this article would just put it up in front, like, hey, this is the developer. Yeah, I don't know. They don't list it. But the developer's, like, someone I'd never heard of. And Reef Entertainment, is that it? I want to click on the trailer, but then it would play the audio in the background, so I didn't want to do that. But I looked them up, and they've done a lot of stuff, but nothing big. It's all been kind of, like, just small things. I couldn't even see stuff that was, like, oh, a big standout. But they've done a bunch of PC games. Wii U. Maybe some Switch stuff, PlayStation 3, I believe, Xbox. Like, they've done a lot of stuff, but again, nothing, no big standouts. But the trailer looked pretty good, and I was like, you know, it looks like it could be a decent game. While it's releasing around the time of the movie, it's not a movie tie-in game, because this takes place in the future, where, you know, you're fighting all the machines and everything. But it looked pretty decent, like, from the trailer. I was like, you know, this looks like it could be a fun, like, 7.5 kind of game, like, maybe a high sevens. And if it's, like, who knows if it's going to be, like, a $60 game or maybe a $40 or $50, but it was just crazy that it just came out of nowhere. It's like, yeah, here it is. Comes out next month or in 2 months. It's like, all right.
That's slightly concerning, because it's like, well, is it really good? But I guess if they put out review copies, that's less concerning. It's not like Sonic Boom, where they just, like, released it out of nowhere and it was really terrible.
Yeah, and because that's always the concern with movie tie-in games, where it's like, you want to get that game out at the same time as the movie, so you have this deadline you have to meet. So there is that concern, but I feel like because they didn't pre-announce this, Like had things developing but just going, like, really bad, they could have been like, oh, well, we didn't even announce it. We could just, A, we could postpone it and maybe do it when the Blu-ray comes out. Who knows? But it's like, you know, it's looking good. We've waited long enough. We know we're going to make the date and go gold beforehand, so let's release the trailer. Kind of like a play it safe. Because I know they did, because you figure with, like, the Avatar game that they showed off well before, I believe, even Avatar came out. Or maybe was it after? No, I think it was before. And that had a lot of hype behind it, but and James Cameron was talking a lot about it and everything, and that didn't necessarily turn out too well. I think it did, like, sevens or high sixes or something like that.
It was an Avatar game?
Yeah, it was a third-person game.
What?
Yeah. You don't remember this Avatar game?
No.
Yeah, Avatar PS3.
Wait, are we talking about Avatar The Last Airbender or
Avatar? James Cameron Avatar.
Okay.
Yeah, James Cameron's Avatar The Game came out December 7th, 2019. Oh, wait, that was the PSP version. That came out on December 1st on PS3, Xbox, Windows, Wii, Nintendo DS, and the PS3. And that was right before, because Avatar came out later in September. It was developed, because this is the thing, it was developed by Ubisoft.
I don't remember any of this.
Yeah, it was Ubisoft Gameloft and Ubisoft Montreal. So that was like, it was this big, like, big people behind it. And I was like, oh, this could be pretty good. And I remember seeing it on the game, I was like, this might be a pretty decent game. And it didn't do well. So they could take their lessons from that with this Terminator game. Like, hey, let's not announce it way ahead of time. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. Izzy forgot everything about 2009. He's like, oh, I don't
know. It was a rough year, you know.
He was still high off the Obama election, 2008. He's like, oh, yes, we can change everything. But then the other bit of news we had, the Apex announced their Season 3 start date. It's going to start on October 1st. It's the Meltdown season. And they also showed the trailer for the new character, the new legend, Crypto, will be coming out. And I like how it kind of reminds me of a Matrix, what was the Matrix short films called? Like the Matrix anthology thing where it was like a bunch of different art directors.
Animatrix.
Animatrix, there we go. Animatrix. Like it was a bunch of different art styles. Like how if you look at Love, Death, and Robots, how it's a bunch of different art styles. And because they released a Wraith trailer a while ago, it was like a 9-minute trailer, and it was very much, it looked like it was in the style of the, it was a little more cel-shaded style, kind of like that recent Berserk anime, or like, there's another anime that got announced, and it was very much that CG computer-generated, but it was cel-shaded looking to make it not look like it wasn't completely computer-generated. And but it was a good trailer, it was like 9 minutes, but then this trailer is very much like this hand-drawn style, like not quite anime style, I can't really describe it, but so it was kind of cool. It looks like they're outsourcing these to different art studios or something like that, and I kind of like that idea of changing it a bit. But yeah, it was a cool trailer. It kind of introduces the character, and they've been teasing him throughout the course of this season, kind of in the way that Fortnite does it as well, where I think in week 7 they had all of a sudden the announcer, like typically announced, like supply drop incoming, or they'll announce like the kill leader has been eliminated, or new kill leader, and then it's like ring movement, and like it does the announcement, and then it's been getting hacked to where it just sounds like all slowed down and messed up, and all the banners across the arena that show the top squad get hacked as well, and they basically black screen. It's been pretty cool. And then you can now, in the most recent week, you could actually see Crypto in-game if you go to the lab area that they added this season, and you like run to the secret room, and you run and you can see him hacking this computer, and then he ducks out of there once he realizes you found him. It's really cool, and so I like that they're doing that kind of stuff. That's something I always liked about Fortnite, when they would tease the coming season event like from week 7, and then just slowly doing more and more until, you know, week 10 or week 12, however long the season was. Yeah, looking forward to that. We also saw, I don't have the article open, but I saw, and who knows how credible the rumors, but there was a rumor coming out of Japan that Sony's PS5 is going to have 2 SKUs. The rumor was that they'll launch with the base SKU and the pro SKU, kind of like how they have a PS4 and PS4 Pro now, but they'll do it for the 5 and do them at the same time at launch. And it's just a rumor. It wasn't like one of those, oh, this person who leaked this information is a credible source who has also leaked, you know, XYZ. Because I've seen some of that, like, I forget what it was a while ago, but it's ways back where I think an article at IGN or someone from, and it was like kind of funny, like someone who knew the source that leaked this information to them, they're like, oh, you know, this person, they've leaked a bunch of stuff previously, like this, this, and this. And so they go, this is pretty credible stuff. And then it turned out to be right, of course. But yeah, there was no like corroborating information. I think it was this person remained anonymous because I think they were a dev, possibly. But that'd be interesting. Like so who knows?
The whole issue I had with the Pro is that when it came out, it was kind of like, it makes sense for new people buying it, but I never bought the Pro because I never really saw the reason to.
Right, yeah. And if you don't have, again, unless you're like, your PlayStation 4, you know, craps out and you got to get a new one, might as well get it. Or if you wanted to get, you know, like you're going to get a 4K TV anyways. You're like, okay, then I'll get this and then upgrade to a Pro later. Because at least they had, that's the one thing, like had GameStop not had the trade-in program, probably wouldn't have gotten a Pro right away. But because they gave me like $200 for my PS4, I was like, all right, I'll just give you my second PS4 and get this Pro at a discount. So that was good. And kind of like how they're doing with the Switch and Switch Lite. I feel like anytime a new version of something comes out, they always tend to increase the price that they'll accept your existing consoles in than they normally would. But yeah, so it'll be interesting. We'll see. I mean, figure the 2020 is coming up pretty quick. So when they announce the next Xbox and the PS5, hopefully they do another one of those February events where it's, you know, they did February 20th for the PS4. Hopefully they do another one for PS5 and just announce it and it releases later in the year. Problem solved. But yeah, there's also the Call of Duty Modern Warfare beta going on. The open beta is this weekend. I haven't played it. I'm downloading it now. I've seen a lot of people. I've watched like Shroud play it, and I'll just hop on Twitch and see him check it out. I remember the initial beta they had was just the... I did do the first beta, which was the 2v2. And then I didn't do the other one they had. It was just like a small team-based stuff. And now this beta is the big open, like ground war, 32 player, kind of thing where it's like this big conquest mode, that's going on right now. So I'll probably, and that goes until Monday. So that's of course over this course this weekend, and then I think they're gonna have another one in October. They just did. I think this weekend also is the cross play beta, as well, so you can cross play against PC and Xbox. And I believe someone found in the code, or maybe it was in the menus, that apparently cross-save looks like it's going to be a thing. So that's interesting. But
for which games, just in general, they found that?
For Call of Duty Modern Warfare.
Oh, okay.
Which I feel like is a game that you wouldn't cross-save, but because it's not a persistence, you know, single-player game like Destiny or, you know, these other games, but... Yeah, it's weird that they saw that functionality in there. So, because they figure for multiplayer stuff, like all that's saved in the cloud. So you download Modern Warfare on another console, it's like, oh, it pings your ID and goes, okay, this is what you've unlocked, all your stats. Which is actually funny because that same kind of system screwed my cousin where we were playing Borderlands 3 yesterday and he had he had a couple gold shift keys. He said, oh, I'm going to use some. So he used three of them. And then he picked up all the stuff, and then he ran a room on the third one, and he had to go sell a couple things to make room. And then all of a sudden, like, all his guns disappeared that he picked up.
Oh, shit.
And what? I'm like, he's like, they're gone? He's like, yeah, I'm all just selling. He's like, I don't think so. I'm like, well, check the buyback, see if the buyback has them. He goes, no, it's not there. Like, his guns were just, they were just gone. And he went to like the reclaim thing and see if they popped up there. And then he's like, well, let me see if I have he had a cloud save from the last time we had played, which was like on Tuesday or something. And so he quits out, downloads his cloud save, which of course doesn't matter because the shift keys are already gone. It doesn't cloud save shift keys. So they're one-time use no matter what. And so when he came back down, he's like, yeah, he basically lost the keys and the other stuff that he kept outside of the guns that got lost. So
ew, that sucks.
That's really weird.
Yeah, it was the only other glitch we ever had was like he dropped a shield for me to see if I. He's like, hey, see if you want this. And I like looked at it on the ground. I picked it up. Did I pick it up? Yeah, I picked it up because of course you don't see all the stats what you have currently equipped unless you're in the menu to see complete comparison. So I went in the menu, did a compare. I was like, nah, I'm good with what I have. And then I dropped it, and then it just fell through the floor.
And then, yeah, I've had stuff fall through the floor, like especially with loot tinks and things.
Yeah, so it's just gone. And then I know PC was having some problems where like saves were getting erased. But those are the only two instances we had where I had a problem in Borderlands where I dropped something, disappeared, and then he apparently lost some guns he picked up from the box. But yeah, and then the only other problem I have in the game is whenever I open up the that Vault Hunter, who once you find all his
like,
yeah, and then you open up the chest that has his all that loot. It's like anytime if there's SMGs on the center of the chest, I can't like if I look at them, it doesn't pop up the information for that unless I'm like right up on them. But then the pop-up menu is way up off the screen, and if I look up to look at it to see what it has, I can't read it. I'm like, every time. Yeah. It's like
that one's really bad, where they just, however they did it, the text for the items pops up off the screen, and it's like, well, great, I can totally see this.
And it's just SMGs.
I found it with a few other things, and I don't know if it's like maybe field of view or like what setting has affected it. But I've run into it a few times, and it's annoying.
Yeah, I did have one where it was two SMGs in it, and then below was, I think, a shield. And so I had to just pick them up and look at them later. But, I mean, I've never found an SMG I wanted anyway, so I don't use them. But it was just, like, those chests in particular always give me problems. But, yeah.
SMGs are, like, my favorite.
Nah, I don't know. I never used SMGs in the other games either. And I just don't like SMGs in Borderlands. Like, I just don't use them.
What's your gun of choice?
I typically like to rock Jacob's pistols, Jacob's snipers, and then shotgun. And then now that I've unlocked the fourth weapon, I've been trying some assault rifles recently, but like they're just, I don't know, not really feeling them. Like, I have one I'm rocking just because it has the status effect on it, but I just like the Jacob's weapons. Like, way better. I like, because it's always as fast as you can pull the trigger on the pistols, and then I just like revolvers, and I like Jacob's is very, it's got that Western look. The sniper rifles also, there's this one Jacob's sniper rifle that it doesn't have a magazine, instead it's the revolver cylinder, and I just love the reload animation, because he has to slap the scope to the right, pull out the cylinder, toss it, put in another cylinder, slap the cylinder into place, and then pull the scope back into place. And if you have like a quick reload speed version of it, it's like it's super fast, and just the way the animation looks is so fucking awesome. Like, I that's the one thing is, I do like, there's another vendor who makes a shotgun that I like. The one with the shields. Who's that? That's not Maliwan, right? Maliwan's always the status effects. It's like always the futuristic looking weapons. Whoever that gun manufacturer is, I do have a shotgun.
TOV people, I can't remember.
Teodor, maybe.
No, there's like a COV.
No, children. I don't use Children of the Vault guns at all.
Oh yeah,
overheat weapons. I don't use those. These. It's like this one vendor that makes this. It might be. It's the guy. I know it's not Maliwan, because Maliwan makes the switch status effects, which are cool, but I just don't rock those right now. I have one sniper rifle that does it, but I don't really focus too much on the status bonuses, because I'm not like, the base game difficulty is not difficult, and they have to start at, like, obviously if I'm gonna play on Mayhem or something, then yeah, that kind of stuff I'd pay attention to more. But yeah, whoever it is, I kind of like their stuff, because it's like the shotguns, while they're not as strong as like a Jacob's, the usually some of the other stats will have good benefits. Like, I like the shields ricocheting the shots they take back at the enemies. That's really good. But yeah. But other than that, the news is basically it. I was trying to see if there was anything else, but nothing big. Again, we'll have to wait till next week. There's a Fortnite Batman crossover event going on right now for the 80th anniversary of Batman. I'm not sure how long that lasts. That'd probably be like a week. Most of those events tend to go for about a week. So they have the classic comic Batman outfit and then the Dark Knight version and then a Catwoman outfit as well. And then gliders and batarangs and some other stuff. So I know a lot of people are stoked about that. They're looking at pretty good skins too. But yeah, other than that, that's basically it for the news. Just Kojima tweeting a lot about Death Stranding. Tomorrow's in our hands. You know, all that kind of stuff. But
it's going to get weirder and weirder the closer it gets to the release date.
Yeah, super close. But yeah, other than that, I guess we can jump into what we've been playing. Have you been playing anything outside of Zelda, Isaiah?
Untitled Goose Game.
So Untitled Goose Game and Zelda.
I haven't actually played Zelda yet. Michael's playing Zelda right now.
Oh, okay. I saw your Twitch stories. Goose Game.
What?
Just Untitled Goose Game.
Just Untitled Goose Game. This is how good it is. I stopped playing Final Fantasy VIII to play Untitled Goose Game.
Wow.
Right?
That's saying something.
How is, because you weren't on, was it? Were you on last week? I can't. Oh, yeah, you were. Yeah, so I think it was week prior because we wanted to talk to you about FF8. Now you've played more of it though. How's the remaster?
It's good. I mean, I fucking adore the game as it is. It's one of my favorite Final Fantasies, so of course that helps. The remaster on its own is okay. I feel like the only thing that's actually remastered are the main character models, because even some of the like non-important NPC models, their textures are updated, but they're models aren't really, it doesn't seem, and the world map is definitely not updated. So it feels a little, I don't know if I want to say like cheapened, but I feel like the way that the character models looked going out into the world map should have been like a holy shit, this is awesome moment, where it's just kind of like, yeah, I remember this world map, I know where I am, I know where I'm going. It's just like, it's not as remastered as I would like it to be, but it's still fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, here, I haven't heard too many people talk about like on podcasts and stuff, but it seems like a lot of people are enjoying it.
It's a good fucking game. It's like way underrated Final Fantasy. Like, there are really people out there that think it doesn't need like a Final Fantasy VII style remake, but they obviously forget that Estar fucking exists. Like, how cool would it be in modern graphics to go to Estar and see all this like futuristic magic space shit? Not to mention Adele. Like, Adele's fucking rad. But I feel like for this remaster, they kind of maybe cut a lot of corners to get it out for, it's like the game's 20th anniversary this year or something like that, I think. Mm-hmm. So I feel like they cut some corners to get it out. But that gives me hope that maybe there will be like a remade version, maybe not to the caliber of Final Fantasy VII Remake, but you know, a little bit more of a remake in the future for it, possibly, hopefully, maybe, please.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not out of the realm. They did the VII remakes and all that shit before they, or remasters before they did the actual like remake, so.
Yeah, but just kind of something more than what they did, because they obviously did not remaster every texture in the game. The world map looks like it was just, it looks like they just upped the resolutions so they were like crisp and not pixelated, but they definitely weren't redone to the extent that the character models were redone.
Yeah. They can always, like you said, do some more stuff later. Figure just get it out because everybody's been wanting it, because it's been the one that's always been kind of like left out of all the ports and everything. So
yeah, it was ported to like Steam or PC years and years and years ago and never touched again, whereas like almost all the other Final Fantasies got like HD versions and ports and everything like that. So it definitely feels like they tried to put something out, but I wish they would just remake it, like with better CG cutscenes and better like engine, and but just like just keep the game the way it is though. I want my turn-based battles. I want like the draw magic system. I want the game just in better graphics.
Yeah.
The whole game, not just the character. Don't get me wrong, it's nice that Squall has a face now, but I would like everybody to be up to that caliber.
Yeah. And then you've just been playing Borderlands, Izzy?
Yep, just Borderlands. I've liked it so far. Yeah, I beat the game already.
Yeah, I figured you must have.
I beat the game. I'm going through right now, opening up all the map. I turned on Mayhem 1 so that everything scaled up to my level so that it wasn't really boring. And the Mayhem system is fucking phenomenal for replayability, because if it weren't for the Mayhem system, doing all of the side quests and revealing all the areas on a map would be just a nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mayhem system makes it actually enjoyable, because everything scales up to you and there is actually a noticeable increase in drop rates.
Yeah.
So I expected it to kind of feel cheap and tacked on, and I actually have ended up really liking the Mayhem system. I don't really notice the difficulty increases too much. Like, I get some of the difficulty increases, but it's not noticeable, at least on Mayhem 1. It feels pretty appropriate. But, like, I do notice the increased drop rate a ton, which is phenomenal.
I think they did a hot patch that nerfed it a bit, and then also the loot tinks they nerfed a bit as well, I saw.
Yeah, people found a spot where loot tinks could spawn infinitely or really easily, so obviously they were doing that. And loot tinks are the good spot to get loot, obviously, so that's what everyone was doing, and they hit that with the fix super quick, and then they also fixed Torg shotguns. The sticky damage on them was insane. Like, I don't know if you tried it or if your cousin tried it, but you could sticky something like 5 times with a flak build, and it would like one-shot a boss.
Yeah, it was it seemed like it was pretty strong whenever he ran those. He hasn't run one since. I think he found some different guns, but yeah, I definitely noticed that when we were playing.
Yeah, so they brought that down to actual reasonable levels, as opposed to the literally one-shot bosses, like pop your action skill and one-shot any boss in the game, which it's sad to see it go, but also it was fucked up and it definitely needed to be fixed, even though people loved it.
Yeah.
I've enjoyed Borderlands so far. It is definitely more of the same as Borderlands 2. Except a bit cleaned up and better. I kind of agree with a lot of the reviews that are like, yeah, the writing doesn't really hit this time. And I agree with that. I don't think the writing in Borderlands 3 is great. The villains I have not liked as much as Handsome Jack. Like, Handsome Jack, the backstory and just how well the kind of evil CEO shtick fit with the Borderlands universe just did a lot more for me than streamers as villains. And like, I won't spoil anything with beating the game, but I just never throughout the game felt that they were nearly as compelling as Handsome Jack.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, you're always gonna kind of run that when you have a great villain in a game and you got to follow it up. I mean, that happened with like Far Cry with Voss and then Pigamin, and I like Pigamin a lot, but Voss was very much like, even though he wasn't even the main villain in Far Cry 3, it was like, you just set this bar pretty high. It's like, goddamn. And I don't mind them. I like the... I feel like they did a really great job with the boss fights. I really like the boss fights because they remind me very much like raid bosses and like, you know, FF15 or 14 and stuff like that, where it's like, they have like a mechanic about them, like that electricity guy that you have to fight, and then the dude with all the sound boxes. Like, I haven't fought a lot of them. We just beat the first vault, so we haven't fought a ton of bosses, but I do like how they all have something to where you have to be very mindful of your surroundings kind of situation.
Yeah, I've definitely enjoyed the bosses. They have... Yeah, I don't want to ruin surprise mechanics, but they have some really cool boss fights. And one of the biggest things that surprised me that stuck out with the boss fights wasn't like... Well, it was a bit the mechanics, but it's... there are certain boss fights later where the music choice that they picked for the boss fight just fits it so well that I'm sitting there going, holy shit, like, they picked phenomenal music for this in terms of like fitting the aesthetic, being really good like background music, and also like almost being in sync with the boss's actions. I never thought I would play Borderlands and be like, wow, yeah, it had great music.
Yeah, the only mechanic I wish was a little different was the first vault boss you fight. Because I thought, like, when he's sitting there, he's weakened, and he becomes invincible, and then all those floaty ghost orbs are around him, and she's like, shoot those! And you shoot him, I felt like, oh, it'll be, these things will give him back HP. So the more we shoot, the less HP he'll get, but that wasn't necessarily the mechanic, so I felt like...
I don't know what those actually did, to be honest.
Yeah.
Like, I shot them, and then after a while, they just sort of disappeared into him, and then his shield went down anyways, and he didn't seem to get any stronger or any health back.
Only thing he did was he would change phases. I felt like the phase changes were just happening automatically. Like, oh, we just did phase one, now he's doing this damage type. Oh, now we're at the one where, you know, he's got the wings and he's flying, and it's like, but unless it was like, oh, he only phase changes once he gets enough of those floaty orbs, so you can kind of delay those phases, I felt like there was no clear feedback that was the case. Like, there was no, this is why you want to shoot these, because this happens. It just seemed like, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I enjoyed the fight still, and, like, the mechanics and things are cool, but there are definitely a few instances with bosses and mechanics where I'm doing something, and I'm like, you know, I really don't know what this is actually doing.
Yeah. There also was one other glitch we had where we were... It was before we did the fight against the dude that was took over Reese's company, where it was a side quest where we had to talk to the there was the guy that was locked in the room, and we had to get him out of the room. And he's like, "Oh, you know, go in there," but there's a lot of those, you know, racks or whatever the creatures were in there. And he's like, "But you got to take them out before you can let me out." And then we go in the room, and there's like just one in a cage, and we can't unlock the cage, we can't hit the switch, we can't do anything. It's like nothing's happening, and I'm like, we couldn't progress. I'm like, what's going on here? So I'm like, hold on, let me YouTube this. So I YouTube and I look up the quest, and then immediately I notice, like, right when they come in to the room, there's a bunch of enemies in the room that spawned. I'm like, okay, so the game just glitched and didn't spawn the enemy. So we quit out and just came back in, and then once we ran into the room, then all the enemies spawned and we got it to go. But yeah, that was the only other major, like, progression issue we had, where it was just didn't spawn the enemies.
I've had a few progression issues that I don't think most people will have, but being colorblind, I've gone to a few areas where I can't fucking tell what I'm supposed to do because of the way they highlight things in this game. Some areas are really fucking hard to figure out, like, what you're supposed to do. So there was one instance where I had to have my friend go to his game and send me a screenshot of, like, what I was supposed to shoot, because I couldn't see the marker that indicated where to shoot on something.
They don't have any colorblind options in the game?
They're not good.
Okay.
They have accessibility options for tweaking things, but the way that they tweak things, I'm not really sure what is actually being tweaked, because whatever, like, settings it is, it doesn't do anything for me. And I'm willing to bet that it's probably colorblind settings for red-green colorblindness, which is not what I have.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you what the accessibility options even do for that, because I can't notice a difference, and I still have a lot of trouble spotting stuff. But again, that's one of those things where it's like, I don't think that anyone else is really going to have some of those issues.
Yeah, I think games like Battlefield has some great, like, that's the game I've seen with the most colorblind accessibility. I think there's almost like 10 different settings you can do, and I've clicked through them, and I'm like, there's so many of these. I just see the color changes, and I'm like, I had no idea there were so many. But yeah, I feel like that's like the only game I've seen where it has like a ton of options for color differences. But yeah, I'm not super far. I'm just, like I said, I talked about last week how I was enjoying it. I'm still enjoying it now. But yeah, I'll be looking forward to playing much more of it and then talking about it as a whole once I finish the game. What level were you by the time you ended up beating it?
So I've heard a lot of different things. My friend beat it at like 35. I beat it at 40.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of people that beat it at like 42 or 43. So it seems like you can kind of beat it anywhere between like 35-ish to like 41, 42-ish.
Yeah, I guess it depends how many cyclists you do and then how much maybe farming you do for weapons.
Right. And I mean, I didn't really farm for weapons at all, but I did a lot of the side quests.
Yeah.
My friend who didn't do any of the side quests got really frustrated because he got to one of the last missions and the mission said it was like level 35 or something for him. And the enemies were all like 40, 41.
Hmm.
So I don't know why they were scaled up so much more for him, because when I did it, they were like 36, 37. So I'm not really sure how the scaling works. But he was getting really frustrated because, like, the last mission for him, he felt was a really unfair jump in power level, whereas I did not experience that at all.
Yeah.
So your mileage may vary, but I think it depends a lot on, you know, are you trying to cruise through the game, speedrunning it, or are you doing side missions and, you know, checking out maps and trying to explore just a little bit? Like, I didn't do all the maps throughout the game, but I did go out of my way when I saw something and was like, oh, that's cool. What's that? Or, you know, like, oh, I wonder if I can climb up to that thing. So, yeah, I'd say like 35-ish to 40-ish is probably about where.
Hmm. All right. That's what I figured. Yeah, I look forward to playing more. And then, again, once I beat it, we can probably talk about everything overall. But, yeah, that's basically outside of that. I've just been playing Apex and then... I play anything else besides Apex and Borderlands? I don't think so. But
we can farm together when you finally get higher.
There you go. Well, I don't know how much. I don't really do. I never did any of that in Borderlands 1 or 2, where like I continued to do like these big end game raid bosses. I'm like, because it was a single player game essentially, and I was like, I don't want to do any of this. I'll just wait for DLC and then play the expansions. But I don't know. We'll see. I mean, there's so much out that once I beat it, I'll probably be like, okay, now I got to go to this game. But
it's a shame, because some of the stuff at the end of the game is the best stuff, honestly.
I'm sure it is, and maybe I'll give it a shot. I don't know, but I never felt the urge to do it previously. But because the bosses are very mechanically like different now versus the previous games, maybe I can do it. Be like, okay, let's see this new mechanic, but we'll see. But yeah, well, I guess I'll wrap it up for this episode then. We'll see. Next week we'll be able to talk more about the event on the 24th. Hopefully get a lot of stuff that we can talk about.
Pastor didn't give me my goose game.
Hey, you gotta
goose. Gotta press Y to honk.
That's right, and then you drop something. But yeah, so thank you all for tuning in. Thank you, Izzy. Thank you, Zaya.
Yep.
And we'll see you all next time.
Later. Bye.